From God comes the wonder of creation. From God comes healing for the brokenness around us and within us. From God comes the strength and joy to face a new day. Glory be to God who creates, redeems, and sustains us all. Come, let us worship God by telling the people within reach and just out of reach that they are loved by God. The peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with your neighbor. Friends, welcome to this place. Old South Church in Boston, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. We give thanks that you have joined us here this morning. We are, in fact, overjoyed that you are here. We rejoice that you have come to worship God. Now, we are thankful not just because your presence will mean that the hymns we sing will be louder, that we will make an even more joyful noise unto the Lord, even though that's true. We are thankful not just because your presence will mean that the prayers we offer will be even more deeply considered and that we will wrestle even more vigorously with the scripture message for today, even though that is true. We are thankful not just because your presence will mean that our offering plates and the missions they fuel will be more full and deep and impactful, even though that is true. Truth be told, we are thankful here because when we gather here in the house of God, we believe something glorious happens. When we gather to worship God, we believe the Spirit transforms us into the body of Christ and equips us to transform the world. We are thankful you are here because we need each and every beloved child of God and each and every gift that you bring if we are ever to be a whole body, if we are even to have a chance of answering that call of God to be the light of Christ in this world. Friends, know that we are thankful you are here. Know that you are fully welcome here and that you are completely needed here. So, it comes down to this. Worship deeply, sing loudly, pray boldly, and give crazily while you are here. For in just one short hour, we are going to leave this room and go forth into the world, formed, informed, fed, and commissioned to be God's very light of hope to a broken world. Friends, welcome to Old South Church in Boston. There are a few announcements that I want to bring to your attention this morning. Many more announcements can be found on this green sheet in your bulletin if you want to pull it out and take a look at it. Already this morning, you have gotten to know each other a little bit by greeting each other with peace. You can do that more fully now. At the end of each aisle, you will find what we call a friendship pad. It looks like this. I invite you to pick it up and to fill it out. But not just fill it out, I invite you to pay attention to the names and information of those who sit around you so that you can get to know them better here and in our fellowship hour that takes place right across the hall in chapel afterwards. Secondly, in your pew, you should have noticed something bright and colorful. It looks something like this. This is a postcard that announces our annual Halloween concert. And here's the thing. We don't want you to leave them here. We want you to take them with you. There are some in your pews, and there are even more in the back. Give them to a friend or a neighbor or a colleague. This is a perfect and easy and wonderful way to invite people to come into this place and experience this place for themselves. It's going to be a night filled with amazing music and great fellowship and fun for people of all ages. Want to know something even better? If you choose to come on that night, you will see Harry, and you will see George, and you will see Nancy, all dressed up in Halloween costumes. And so what could be better than that? Finally, friends, tonight at Temple Israel, GBIO, the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, a group of which this church is an active part, is sponsoring a forum at which all four gubernatorial candidates will be present. It is free and open to the public. There, people from various faith communities, including our very own, will be asking each of those candidates some tough questions based on perspectives of faith, and hopefully getting some good, truthful answers. Friends, we have joined together here in this place to worship God. It is time that we get on to doing that.
A reading from the book of Genesis. That same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man appeared who wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then the stranger said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So the man said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans, and you have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But the mysterious one said to Jacob, "Why is it you ask my name?" And then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon Jacob as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is the word of God.
Friends, be seated. Deception, manipulation, lying, brokenness all around, and brokenness within. About a year ago, my husband and I signed up for Mint.com. Do you know this? It's an online resource that hooks into your bank account. And it keeps track of everything that comes in and everything that goes out. And every week, it sends you a little pie chart of how you spend your money. I have a substantial piece of pie dedicated to coffee. It is bigger than I want to admit. I go to work and I swipe my card. I come home from work and I swipe my card. When I'm off, I take my children to the coffee shop and I swipe my card. It is a substantial piece of pie. More than I want to admit. So you know what I did? At the beginning of the week, I started to take out cash. Like $20, $40, so I could pay in cash and not with my card. And I watched that piece of pie shrink, and I felt good about myself. It's deception and manipulation and lying to yourself and to your spouse. In small ways and in large ways. It's brokenness all around and brokenness inside. Have you ever tried to keep a food journal? Every night before you go to bed, you jot down everything you ate that day, but the scale won't budge. It's because you leave out all the Cheez-Its that you eat on the playground with your children. It's because you leave out your spouse who orders dessert and you say, oh, I don't want any, and then you take 6-7 bites. It just doesn't make it in the journal. Or looking ahead to Halloween, those little mini candy bars, they look so small, but they add up 10, 12, and it doesn't make it into the food journal because of this deception. This self-manipulation, this lying to yourself and to others, this brokenness all around and even inside. It happens in these small ways, and it happens in bigger ways. She came in here about a month ago, and we sat down right in that front pew, and she said, I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of it. I can't stop drinking and getting high. At work, I blame it on my family. I keep lying about my family. I came in late today because my daughter had a doctor's appointment. I'm sorry I didn't call. I couldn't even make it in all day because my son was so sick. At home, she lies about her workplace. I can't come home early tonight. I've got to stay late. There's so much work. I'll be home around 10:30, maybe 11. She keeps lying to her spouse. Face to face, I'm going to change. Trust me. Have faith in me. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to do better. But what fuels those lies is planning the next high. It's deception. Manipulation, lying, and brokenness. Like glass all around and brokenness inside. Jacob was a master deceiver. He was a manipulator extraordinaire. He was a liar's liar. That's what his name means in Hebrew. He is the supplanter, the one who puts himself first and kicks the other person away. He knew how to play the game. Before he was born, he was wrestling with Esau in Rebekah's womb. Fighting. Esau came out first, all furry and hairy, and Jacob came out holding on to his heel. Remember that? Esau sold Jacob his birthright for a pot of his stew. How does that happen? When their father Isaac got old and vulnerable and blind. Has this happened in your family? Someone comes in at the 11th hour and changes the will. And the tears and the brokenness and the estrangement Jacob went out and killed two goats, one that Rebekah prepared for a feast for her husband, and one that Jacob skinned with a sharp knife, and Rebekah sewed him some things to go on his arms. Remember this? Something to go around his neck. He went in to that tent, and it smelled like death. And it smelled like vulnerability, but to Jacob, it smelled like an opportunity. He went into that tent, and Isaac said, "Esau, is that you? My son, is that you?" And Jacob said, "It is I." Isaac said, "It sounds like Jacob. Come here and let me touch you." And Isaac put out his hand like Thomas did to put in the side of Christ's wound. Isaac put out his hands and touched that skin of the goat, just touched it and believed it was Esau. Blessed Jacob and not Esau. Gave everything to Jacob and nothing to Esau, and now he is on the run. He is running away from his brother's anger, to be sure, and he is running away from his father's disappointment and from Rebekah, who seemed to mastermind it all. He is on the run for 20 plus years until his brother catches up to him and asks for a family reunion. Like a backyard barbecue, except Esau is bringing 400 of his strongest men. That's where Jacob is this morning. He is on the bank of the river, and he sends his wives and his maids and everything he owns to safety. He doesn't want his brother to get his hands on it. It is the night before the family reunion, and a stranger comes to him. And they start to wrestle. Scripture says it's a man. Hosea says it's an angel. Is it his conscience? You bet it is. Is it his guilt? You know it is. Is it fear personified? Is it God on high? You bet it is. Jacob struggles with God all night. And when God sees how strong Jacob is, he hits him in the hip. But Jacob keeps fighting. They wrestle all night until God says, "Let go of me. Day is breaking in my soul. Day is breaking all over the earth. Let go of me." But Jacob, the one who came out holding on to the heel of Esau, says, "I will not let go until you bless me." He sees another opportunity. And so God says, "What is your name?" And the one who lied about his name to his father calls a spade and says, "I am Jacob. I am the deceiver. I am the manipulator. I am the liar. I am so far gone I can't even keep a food journal." And God said, "No, you're not. You are no longer Jacob. The past is finished and gone. You are Israel. You are the one who struggles with God." That's what Israel means. You are the one who struggles with the good. You are the one who struggles with the light. You are the one who struggles with what's right. You are the one who struggles with humanity, with your relationships, and you are the one who will prevail. This is good news for Jacob, but it is also good news for you. You are no longer a deceiver, a manipulator, a liar, a person broken on the inside and out. You are changed. This is what it means to struggle with God. You are the one who is struggling, and you are the one who is being formed and changed into a brand new thing. It takes all night. Sometimes it takes all night. a lifetime, but the dawn always comes. Every morning you wake up. Every morning you have breath in your lungs. This is what happens. God takes your face in her hands. After a lifelong of struggle, God takes your face in her hands and says, I love you. You are my beloved. You are the one who struggles and prevails. Today, you are blessed. That's what Jacob has been aching for his whole life, for God to smile on him. That's what we all ache for. And today, it is yours. You are Israel. You are the church. You are the people who struggle with God and who prevail. Will it make you walk differently? You bet it will. It's supposed to. You're supposed to follow a new way. Will it make you talk differently? Will it make your relationships different? Will it make your life completely different? It will, and it is supposed to. This is the good news. After the morning broke, after the day overwhelmed the night, after that lifelong of struggling with God, Jacob looked up and saw his brother Esau and 400 of the strongest men. What did he do if not bend down 7 times in front of his brother to honor him? And what did Esau do if not sprint towards him and hold on to him? And together they wept. And then Jacob took Esau's face in his hand and said, in your face I have seen the face of God. In your face, in this new relationship, I have seen God smiling on the new creation. This is your good news. You are no longer the deceiver or the manipulator or the liar, the one who creates brokenness outside and within. You are a new creation altogether. You are blessed by God. Now go and walk differently. Friends, say amen.
God be with you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise and thank you for the love which has given us the breath of life. You are the spirit of the ages, conductor of the wheeling stars, ruler of the distant worlds, sovereign of all that is and is to be. You have worked wonders beneath the waters and on the highest mountains. And yet you concern yourself with humankind. You would wrestle with us through the night, holding us tight to make us new. O God, with awe we gather in your holy presence. With wonder we contemplate the span of eternity and the purposes of heaven and the callings of our lives. With gratitude and relief we receive the mystery of your love for us. Holy One, we give thanks for your church, which through the ages has been but a poor vessel of your love, yet a vessel still. A stammering herald of your good news, yet a herald nonetheless. You call us to shout your good news to this bad news world, to point to hope when the world is given over to despair, to practice love when others are learning war. And so it is, O God, that we dare turn to you, asking for your forgiveness, seeking your mercy. As wars rage and soldiers kill, as civilians are caught in the middle, as homes and homelands are ruined by warfare, as bodies pile up, as truth itself becomes a casualty, we ask for, we need your forgiveness, O God. We seek your mercy. We cry out for peace. We dare to believe that ancient enemies might learn to coexist, that diplomacy, not killing, could serve a higher purpose, that humility, not self-righteousness, will save us, and that justice is the road to peace. Because this life is full of troubles, because we are called to grieve with those who grieve and to rejoice with those who rejoice, we lift our prayers with those from near and far who visited this sanctuary over the past week, who entrusted their prayers to our keeping. O God, we pray with one who asks for peace in our city streets, peace among urban youth, for a putting down of guns, a turning away from drugs. We pray with and for parents who fear for their children's lives. We join with those who give thanks for 33 miners extracted from the earth. More precious are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Their rescue sweeter than honey. We pray with one who prays for release from heartache, one who prays for a cure for cancer, and another who begs for the strength to remain sober, with one who asks for forgiveness for a grievous wrong. We pray with one, O God, who asks that you would protect her child forever, and then adds, and all the world's children. We remember before you, O God, Donald, who has left this life and moved on to the next and better one. We pray for those near and dear to us, known to us by name, for Peter, Asa, Steve, Anne, Margot, Barbara, Dan, Shirley. We pray for a world torn and bruised by violence, for immigrants and citizens, soldiers and civilians, peasants and potentates, for all your dear people. And in silence now, we each pray our own prayers, offer our own thanksgivings to you. Temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we are called to share the light of Christ with one another and with this broken world. Each of us, in some way, a small light that goes out from this place so that our light might shine in the world. Given all that surrounds us, the obstacles we encounter, the brokenness, the deception, and the lying of the world, how easy it is to feel like this candle, solitary, flickering, vulnerable. But if you have ever been to a candlelight vigil, if you have ever had the chance to see what happens when one candle joins another, and dozens and hundreds more, you know that even when small, flickering, vulnerable candles come together, the light becomes so strong, so bold, and so bright that it shines into even the deepest corners of our world. Enough light to bring hope for a better tomorrow. And brothers and sisters, that is exactly what we do when we come together and make an offering. each of our gifts. Though alone, they can feel insufficient or small or flickering. They come together to become part of something greater, a beacon of hope and a sign of God's love for the entire world. So friends, let us lift up our light and let it shine, trusting in the Easter promise that the darkness cannot, has not, and never will overcome it. The morning's offering will now be given and received.
We invite forward at this time those who are joining this church, owning the covenant with us. Christopher, Caitlin, Jackie, Jack, Ruby, Jessica, Sandy, Anna, George, and Dana. Also with these who are going to join Old South this morning is Candace Castorco, representing the Board of Ministers and Deacons. Sandy?
Brothers and sisters, will you join me in the litany of membership and mission printed in your bulletin? Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. These people have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ.
They are here as we are here, to endeavor to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God help us.
Friends who are joining, we rejoice in the pilgrimage of faith that has brought you to this time and this place.
Christopher, Caitlin, Jackie, Jack, Ruby, Jessica, Sandy, Anna, George, and Dana. Do you promise by the grace of God to continue your pilgrimage of faith, to be Christ's disciple, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able.
Do you promise to walk with us in faithfulness
and Christian love? Do you promise that so far as able, you will participate in the life of this church by worshiping God with us, offering your time, talent, and means to the ministry of this church and to the larger church of which this is a part?
Friends, we then welcome you as partners in the common life of this church, and we all rise as we are able to share our covenant of mission with you. We pledge to give ourselves to the one whom Jesus calls Abba Father.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of Old South Church, we extend to you the right hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church.
Christ, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rain fall softly on your fields. And until we meet again, may God bless you and rename you and recreate you and hold you in the palm of her hands. Brothers and sisters, go now in peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let the people of God say, Amen.